Yeah, that's fine. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good to be with you again. Often think of, you were talking about your Bible detectives, and the thought just ran through my mind, I wonder how many criminals you get along there as well. Well, the Word of God will sort them out if they come anyway, so that'll be good. I was down here a few weeks ago and began preaching from a few verses in Acts chapter 2, which I'd like to go back to this morning. I've kind of got a part way through what I wanted to say, and I want to look at that again this morning, give a bit of catch up, and then we'll move into it. But Acts chapter 2, I love the book of Acts. Anybody who knows me will know that is my, probably, I know perhaps we shouldn't have favourites, but it's my favourite book in the Bible because I'm a great believer in local church. I believe that's God's answer to the world. And wherever a local church is, I believe that God will work through them. Scripture says, you know, it's through the church the manifold wisdom of God will be made known. And as we look at the pattern that we see in the New Testament, as the church, if you like, worldwide, begins to work itself out, we see that local churches are planted in towns and cities, and it's the local church that the work of God goes through. And so I'm a great believer in the local church. Just this is a local church to me, and God works through it, and we see that working out in the book of Acts. And it also, as we all know, being a Pentecostal church, it also shows us and speaks to us and reveals to us the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, which the church needs, which we need as individuals. And it just puts that into place as well. So I love the book of Acts because it's just, for me, the foundation of God working out his purposes. After Jesus went back to heaven, God is now working out his purposes through the local church. And it just puts a framework for us to work in. And we see here in Acts chapter 2 a kind of confirmation of what the prophet Joel said many years before. He says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the earth above and signs on the earth below. And so just an example of what's going to happen when the Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh, both men and women, both young and old. And we began to look at, for me, when I read those verses, it was during a conference, just one of them really spoke to me, and it was, your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. And as I said before, I don't think it's gender specific, and I don't think it's age specific, because it talks about pouring out on all flesh, men and women, young and old. It's just a bit of, if you like, poetic license. And I think we're all can receive dreams. I think we can all have visions as well, because God pours out his spirit. But that just that verse, old men dream dreams, and I was challenged. As you remember, it says, and God challenged me. He says, where are your dreams? Where are your dreams? And I guess it's a question I want to put again to you this morning. Whether you're old, whether you're young, whether you're male or whether you're female, where are your dreams? The Amplified Version talks about God prompted dreams. And it's a question I want to kind of raise again this morning, and help us as we get through it this morning, help us to allow God to bring into function, bring into reality those things that is put within our lives, because I believe God deposits something in everybody's life. As they become Christians, you read in Psalm 139, it says, all the days ordained for you are written in my book. So God puts something in within us to work out, or not just one thing, maybe for some are lots of things. And we'll get on to that a little bit later. You know, the Apostle Paul puts it in a different way, and in a very well-known portion of Scripture, from Philippians chapter 3. He says, about kind of knowing Christ, he says, I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and somehow attaining to the resurrection of God, resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal. Or I would put another in it, arrived at my dream, arrived at my vision, arrived at what God has put within my heart. He said, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal. That's how Paul put it, his dream, his vision, that thing that he's put within his heart. He says, I'm going to press on. He says, I haven't obtained it as yet. And you look at the life of Paul, you think, well, he did lots of things for God. He achieved lots of things for God. But even he says, I haven't attained it all yet, but I'm going to press on. I'm going to press on. For what? For the something that Christ Jesus has taken hold of him. A God-induced thing. I don't know really what Paul's that was. He said, I'll press on to take hold of that. I'm not sure. I've heard lots of sermons on it, and I'm still not 100% sure what Paul's that was. I have my own ideas. But he said, I press hold. Press on to take hold of it. I strain towards what is ahead. And you know, there's just a few words in there. It says, it's the one thing I do. The one thing that gripped Paul was to take hold of what God had taken hold of him for. That was the main thing in his vision. That was the main thing in his dream. That was the main thing in his life. The one thing, he said, I press on. As I say, I don't know what his that was, but he said, I press on. We've already mentioned this morning, I think it was David mentioned this morning, about God having plans for us. From Jeremiah, he says, I know the plans I have for you. God knows what he's put within us. God knows these prompted dreams and visions, and that helps us to see what God has put within us. See, God sees the potential in all of us, and he wants us to fulfill it. He wants us to fulfill the that, like Paul's that. We've all got a that, and God wants us to fulfill it. And I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to myself as well, because it's a work in progress for me. I think every preacher, if they're honest, when they prepare a sermon and want to bring it to other people, they're first and foremost, nine times out of ten, they're talking to themselves first. And I'm talking to myself this morning because I want to fulfill all that God has for me. I want to fulfill the dreams and the vision that God has put within my heart. So I'm still a work in progress. I really am. And we mentioned last time, do you remember those words that Martin Luther quoted in his famous speech? He said, I have a dream. You know, something that was inside of him that he wanted to fulfill. And lots of people over history, you see that they've had dreams, they've had visions. Even in Scripture, you know, Moses was passionate about seeing his people released from bondage. Even in recent times, we've seen people like William Wilberforce. I mentioned these before. You know, a Christian, he had a dream and was passionate about releasing people from slavery. Martin Luther, passionate about reforming the church. And God put those dreams into people, and he wanted them to fulfill it. And I'm not saying we're all going to be a Martin Luther. I'm not saying we're going to be a William Wilberforce. I'm not saying we're going to be a Moses. But there are things, I believe, in everybody's life that God wants you to fulfill. He wants us to shine, and we can only shine bright when we're doing what God wants us to do. You know, as I said, Paul followed his heart. He pressed on. He strained towards what ahead. He had a passion for it. But I'm a realist as well. And I realise sometimes in my own life I haven't fulfilled those things that God wanted me to do. And as I go around churches and meet people, and you often speak to people, and you sense that perhaps I haven't all fulfilled what God put on their heart, the vision, the dream that God had put in their heart. You know, that they really want to see fulfilled, and they haven't fulfilled it. And there's lots of reasons why that happens. And I want to help us this morning to look at some of those reasons, and hopefully, and I believe for some, it will help you overcome, and it will encourage you to move on in God and fulfill those purposes that God has for you. And last time I was down, we just started to look at the things that would, if you like, be dream dimmers or heart stoppers or passion killers. And they will block those things that God has put within our heart. And the first one, I think we touched on it last time, was disappointment. Have you tried to follow your heart and perhaps lived a dream and it hasn't worked out? It hasn't perhaps worked out as you thought it should have done or hoped it would be or intended it to be. And perhaps because of that you've been hurt or bruised by it. And when that happens, our natural response is to kind of pull back into our shell, to pull back to safety, and you begin to give up on that dream or that thing that God has put within your heart. Can I encourage you this morning and say to you, with all the grace that I can, it's not the right thing to do. Because when we do that, we're just living, we're just existing, we're just getting by. It's almost a self-imposed prison. The Bible says when I have an expectation and when it doesn't turn out the way I intended and I get disappointed, the Bible says it makes our heart sick. Proverbs 13 verse 12 says, hope deferred, and that means a dream, an ambition, a desire, deferred, makes the heart sick. And we believe God can heal those things. So, quite simply, you know, if at first you didn't succeed, welcome to the human race. Because you're not the only one. You're normal. I think last time I was down, I quoted a few examples of in natural life that people didn't succeed at first. People like Walt Disney, the inventor of, you know, Disney World, Disney films, and, you know, almost a global enterprise. And he was sacked from a newspaper he was working for the lack of ideas. But he dusted himself up, got up again, started again, and look what he achieved. Henry Ford went bust a number of times before he formed the Ford Motor Company. Steve Jobs, as you know, got sacked from Apple, but he returned to help it make it probably the, I don't know whether it is the richest company at the moment. It kind of varies between Apple and Microsoft and Amazon, but But he was sacked. And I think I said last time, James Dyson made 5,126 prototype bagless vacuum cleaners before ending up with the product that he did. Can I encourage you this morning, if you've been disappointed and things haven't worked out for whatever reason, in a sense, dust yourself off. Look to God. If God has spoken into your life, say, God, help me fulfill the dream. Help me in some way. To fan into flame. Paul said that to Timothy. He said about gifting. He says, fan it into flame. And I encourage you this morning, don't let disappointment rule your life. Allow God, allow the wind of the Spirit to fan into flame that what God has put within you. The second thing that would stop us fulfilling that those things that God has put within us, stop us living the dream, stop us being what God wants us to be, is fear. Jesus told a parable about talents. We called it the parable of the talents. And in Bible times, a talent wasn't, as we get our word talent from, our gift, things that we were kind of good at. I learnt this morning something that I didn't know before, that your pastor was a boxer. So he's obviously got a talent. So I better be careful what I say this morning. You know, I might get a right hook or something. But he obviously had a talent there. But talents in biblical times was an amount of silver. It was an amount of money in silver. And the story is, the parable is, that this wealthy man gives some talents to his servants. Most of you will know the story, I'm sure. One gets five, one gets three, and one gets one. I don't know why, but you will find in life, even in the church, there will be people with more talents than you. Some might have five, some might have three, some might have one. But don't look at that. Just do what God has given you to do. Amen. Don't look at other people. Amen. Don't look at other people. You might think, well, I'd like to be a Billy Graham. Well, I know Billy Graham's died. Or this, a worship leader, I don't know. Matt Redman. As a worship leader, I want to be like Matt Redman. God's already got a Matt Redman. He doesn't. He wants you to fulfill what he's put within in you. Don't really look at other people. And that's not really the moral of this story I want to bring out. But make the most of what God has given you. So one guy comes back and says, I've doubled the investment that you gave me. I doubled what you gave me. And God says, that's good. That's good. The master says, that's good. And the second guy comes back and says, I've also doubled my investment. And the master says, that's really good. I'm really pleased with that. And the third guy comes back and says, I didn't do anything with it. I buried it. And the master says, what? Yeah, he said, I buried it in the ground. He said, why did you do that? Do you know what his words were? Because I was afraid. Because I was afraid. And sometimes it's fear that stops us living our dream. It's fear that keeps us from attempting the goal. It's fear that hems us in and limits our vision. It shrinks our heart and stops us obtaining that God has put within our hearts. You see, when God puts something in our hearts to do something, it may well frighten us as to where life will take us. If we really follow our dream, if we really follow what God has put within me, it might affect my life. Can I say to you this morning, yeah, it might. But if it's what God has put within you, have no fear. God will walk with you. God will support you. God will strengthen you. Will I be able to survive? What about my family? It's a fear of perhaps stepping out of the norm, stepping out of the comfort of a normal life, perhaps even the fear of failure. All these fears will stop us, if we allow it to fulfill us following our hearts. Earlier this year, when we were in Fuerteventura leading a church there for a while, a young couple came one Sunday morning. In fact, they were on honeymoon. And I said, what are you doing in church on your honeymoon? But they were keen. And the young couple, they met in Bible school, got married. And I said, well, what are you going to do now? They said, well, we have a dream, we have a vision of coming. He was American, Canadian, and she was English. We want to come to England and, you know, and evangelize and plant churches. And I was chatting to him. I thought, well, that's a little bit naive, really. Young couple, nothing behind them, but on fire for God. And as I said it, I felt a check in my spirit. When I thought to myself, that's a bit naive, I felt God say, they're going to live their dream. They're going to fulfill their vision. God had got hold of them, put something in their lives, and they were going to go for it. What's the worst thing could have happened to them? They could fail. But you know, I love the scripture when it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall or fail, might not work out, what did God say? The Lord upholds me with his hand. So don't be frightened of fail. If God has put something in your heart, can I say, go for it? I'm reading a story, and I can't think of the name of the guy, and I'm not really interested in American sport, but it was a basketball player, and one of the criticisms of him was that he'd have a go at getting a basket or scoring from anywhere around the court rather than pass to somebody else. He'd have a go. He said, why do you do that? And he said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. True? Don't let fear stop you from living your dream. Don't let fear stop you for doing that God has put within you. You know, I'm not talking about everyone is going to be an upfront person. Not everybody's going to be on show. It may be doing, God wants you to do something, in a sense, in the background. But we're all part of the body. Some are seen and some are not. But the ones that, the Bible says, the ones that are unseen are probably more important than the ones that are seen. But it's what God has put within your life. The third thing that will stop us fulfilling our dream is, I've said, is guilt. You know, you can't feel guilty and go after your dream at the same time. Because guilt often takes a lot of energy. It's like carrying a big kind of heavy load on our backs all the time. And you're going to get tired. And even it puts in our minds, I'm guilty over this, so God can't use me. And that's why people lose their confidence. They don't do what they should do. They're thinking about, I've done this, and what if somebody knows about it? And we're protecting ourselves. But I don't think God ever intended you to walk around with a bunch of guilt or regret or condemnation. That's what Jesus came to do, to take that away. We heard that. It's part of my sermon here this morning, David. You must have known what I was going to say. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all righteousness. Romans 8, therefore there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He died for your sins so that we can be completely forgiven. He paid for them so that we don't have to pay for them. And I say to you this morning, as David did far better than I'm doing, you know, don't beat yourself up about it. God has forgiven you. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. An example I had this morning as well. I think it was Corrie ten Boom said, God puts our sins in the bottom of the deepest sea. And then he puts a sign at the top saying, no fishing. No fishing. And if you're worried this morning, you've done things in the past and you've brought them to God, has he really forgiven me? The answer is yes. Completely. They're in the bottom of the deepest sea. And God says, puts a sign up, not us, God says, no fishing. That's where we stand this morning. Somebody once said he was hung up for our hang-ups. And, you know, that's what God has done for us. Everything we've done, past, present and future, Christ died for them as a ransom. And all we have to do is to repent, turn round and go in a different direction. And that's the heart of the gospel. That's the best news in the world. That's what we preach. That's what Jesus told us to do. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's the gospel that we preach. It's going to set our heart free. It's going to set our lives free. You know, disappointment, fear and guilt, they're all going to dim our dreams. Second Corinthians says these words, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. And if you don't believe what David said this morning, and if you don't believe what I've just said, then we're receiving God's grace in vain. If we continue to carry the guilt and the condemnation around, it will stop us from fulfilling the dream, the vision that God has put within our hearts. There was a woman caught in adultery. You probably know the story in John chapter 8. And the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they condemned her. They accused her. But what did Jesus say? I condemn you no more. Go and sin. I condemn you. I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. Don't let guilt stop you fulfilling it. Jesus will set you free, has set you free. Time is going. I'll crack on. Fourth thing that will stop us fulfilling our dream is bitterness and resentment. It's worse than cancer. It's worse than a heart disease, in a sense, in our spiritual lives. It can eat you alive from inside. It can gnaw at you 24/7. And you can't get go of it. You're always resentful. You're always thinking about how to retaliate. A person has hurt you and it's still there. It keeps you stuck in the past. You can't get past it. And that will stop you fulfilling your dream. The only answer is to let it go. The only answer is to forgive them. Forgiveness is the only thing you can give. You may say, but they don't know what they've done. They don't know how I feel. I say to you this morning, probably not. They need to be punished. Can I say to you, let God deal with it? Forgive them and let God deal with it. You may say they don't deserve it. Probably not. But then, did we deserve our forgiveness? Let it go. Let it go. Forgive them. You need to get on with your life. You need to fulfill what God has called you to. Didn't Jesus tell us in the prayer that you gave us to pray, forgive those that have done things against us. I guess he knew we would have problems with it. So I encourage you this morning, if you've got bitterness or resentment in your life, let go of it. If somebody's hurt you, forgive them and move on in your life. There may have been people who have hurt you in the past and they let you down. But I'm sorry, and I'm sorry about that. But you know, people in your past can't hurt you anymore unless you allow them to. And we rehearse it in our minds and we think about it. And it still gnaws away. But just as Jesus forgave us, I implore you to forgive them. Move on. Get over it. And move on to what God has for you. A guy I like very much is a guy called Rick Warren, American pastor. And he says, are you going to be bitter or better? There's a choice. Romans 12 says, don't take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge and I will repay, says the Lord. Fifthly, the fifth thing that will stop us is rejection. Where we've tried to do the will of God and we've been rejected. Perhaps people have said things against us and we've been even cut to the heart. But we need to get over it. We need to get through it. In Psalm 64, it says, they cut me down with sharpened tongues. In other words, they were attacking me verbally. They aimed their bitter words like arrows straight at my heart. And sometimes in the past, we've perhaps been cut to the heart with things. We've been rejected. But we need to get over it. We need to get through it. Believe what God says about you. Perhaps you've been put down in the past, in whatever way, or even recently. Well, you're no good. You'll never achieve that. You'll never get that. You're not really built for that. You're not. And people will say that from time to time. And we'll cut to the heart. But when that happens, we need to believe what God says about us. We really need to believe what God says about us. In Ephesians 2, chapter 10, it talks about us being God's handiwork. That word actually means we are God's masterpiece. When you've got a masterpiece, perhaps a work of art in your home, but not that we've got any, private place and it's there. It's a masterpiece. And that's what God says about you. Because he's knit us together in our mother's womb. He's put us together. He's God's workmanship. And you are God's workmanship. You're God's masterpiece. That's what God says about you. You're not a reject. You're a masterpiece. So allow your mind to be renewed by the word of God. And when we do that, it says you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing and perfect will. And if in the past you've been rejected, erase it and believe what God says about you. Start building your life on what God says about you. And lastly, sixth thing is security. Will stop us fulfilling what God has for us. And I guess all the previous five might even come under that one heading. If I do some things that God wants me to do or fulfill, how will that affect my future? And we're all human. We've all got a life to live. Might have families to support, children to support, life to live. And I guess it's a question that we all ask from time to time. How will it affect my future? Will I get by? How will it affect my future? Like that young couple I mentioned back in First Ventura. You know, they had nothing behind them, but they wanted to believe for God to use them. And I admired that. When I sat back and thought about it, I was critical at first, but when I sat back and thought about it, go for it. I believe the answer to all of that can be wrapped up in one sentence from Jesus. All our fears, our securities, our worries can be wrapped up. And it's something he said when he preached to the crowd on the mountain. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. And he said, "Seek first the kingdom, and all the other things will be added to you." That, for Joy and I, has been our life's text, really, from when we first got married. It's a text we endeavour to live by, and I'm not blowing my own trumpet by any means, but it's a text, it's a promise from God, it's a word from God that we've lived our life by over the past, how long have we been married, 40 plus years? 44 years. And I'm not blowing my own trumpet, but it's a verse we've always come back to. Seek first the kingdom of God and all the other things. And what is the kingdom of God? How do I live in God's kingdom? Well, Jesus is king. And the prayer we pray almost every morning when we have our prayer time together is, God, the prayer that Jesus told us to pray, your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And we take it personally. We say, Lord, your will in our life. Not everybody else can pray the same prayer, and I'll pray that God's will be done in everybody's life in this room. But sometimes we have to take it personally. And we pray that almost every day. Lord, your will be done in our lives. And I can honestly say, through all the years, the ups and downs, 4 children, 10 grandchildren, and lots of other ups and downs in life, I can honestly say that all the other things have been added to us. You know, it's a dangerous prayer to pray, if you mean it. Your will be done here on earth in my life. But God has walked through us. And I want to encourage you this morning. If God has put something in your life to be and to do, don't let these heart stoppers, don't let these dream dimmers, don't let these passion killers affect your life. But come back to God and say, God, I'm going to seek you first. What you've put in my life, that's going to, as Paul said, it's the one thing I do. And I know when I do that, all the other things of life, because that scripture comes after Jesus is saying, you know, don't worry about this, don't worry about that, don't worry about something else. But we often worry about that, worry about that, worry about that, and don't seek his kingdom. Build your life on God and what God says. God says, I made you. I planned you. I have a purpose for your life. I put certain abilities, desires, and dreams in you and in your heart. He said, I love it when you do what I made you to do and be what I made you to be. I don't want you to be anybody else. I want you to be you. Don't look for the approval of others. Look for the approval of God. And God will bless you and help you in all that you do. Some of you think, well, to do that, I've got to be perfect. No, you haven't. You've got to be available to God. You think, well, if I was kind of perfect, then I would get the approval of others and what have you. No, you wouldn't. Jesus was perfect and he didn't get the approval of everybody. I want to encourage you this morning to be and to do the things that God has put within your heart, whatever age you are. He said young men or women will have visions, older men and women have dreams. Paul puts it, it says that, whatever terminology you want to use, I believe God has got a purpose for each one of us. And I guarantee in this room there's some purposes and some dreams and some visions, there's some that's that God has put within your heart that have been dimmed over the years for whatever reason. Maybe nothing that I've said this morning, maybe something else. But I want to encourage you this morning to allow that, what God has put within you, to be fanned into flame. You know, if we don't live the life that God has for us, we lose out. Our family loses out. Our church loses out. Our neighbourhood loses out. Perhaps even our country loses out. When you think of, you know, people in the past, I'll mention some of them in history that have achieved things for God. If they had given up because they got disappointed or rejected or they were hurt, some of those things perhaps would never have happened. Perhaps God would have picked up somebody else, I don't know. But society and the world would have lost out. And if we don't pick up those things that God has put within our hearts and run with them, as I say, we lose out, the church loses out, and the neighbourhood loses out, Cheriton could lose out. So I want to encourage you this morning. And I hope that has helped with some of the things that would stop us running our race, that you can put it into practice. Joy prayed right at the beginning that what we hear this morning, we will put into practice. And my prayer is that you will do that. And we will see God grow those things and fan into flame those things in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I said a few weeks ago, a verse, and it stuck with me and it keeps coming back to me. God will not be your tailor. And we can come up with lots of excuses of why we can't be what God wants us to be and to do what God wants us to do. We can come up with lots of excuses and we say, God, I'm this, I'm that, I'm something else. And this kind of cloak, this clothes you want me to become, this person, can you just nip it and tuck it here and bring it into where I am? And God says, no. I know the plans I have for you. I'm going to grow you. Grow you into those clothes, if you like. You're not going to cut his plans down to our size. He wants to grow up something. And I trust you allow God to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Father, come to you this